The new drugs, as Justin pointed out, can be terrific. High response rates, CNS activity, can be durable. We don't have a lot of mature data quite on how durable it can be, but seems like they can be very durable, quite well tolerated. I have seen some toxicity. There can be some edema, like you can see with MET inhibitors. There can be some GI side effects, like you can see with MET inhibitors. I have found that dose adjustment is great. And so while some patients tolerate full dose fine, other patients, you dose adjust and they stick with it. And it really is a game changer for this, where we now have patients with dramatic and durable effect. I've used them up front in the first line setting. I've used them for a CNS disease with some effect. And really the next question on my mind is starting to do the same story with EGFR and ALK, which is what causes resistance? How do we treat resistance? And how do we start sequencing a series of therapies to make a durable control for RET patients? I agree that immunotherapies do not work for these patients, and I've tried unsuccessfully to get an immunotherapy response.
So any other questions you have about RET or about this patient? What happened with the patient?
So, you know, fortunately, we had both trials in town for both drugs, and we convinced her, she was very hesitant, but we convinced her to enter the LOXO-292-gesel-percatinib trial. But then she was traveling in the Keys and got an admission to the hospital for malignant hypertension, so she stopped the trial after only a month and a half. And then she thought she was gonna do as well as she had done before, but then within 3 months, her disease just blossomed. Now she has multiple pleural base mets, bone mets, liver mets. So someone that had been asymptomatic for so long now has a lot of symptoms. So we were able to get her to the other drug, and she just started the drug last month. We're hoping she responds, because she really hasn't had a RET inhibitor for more than a month.
So, Justin, I was curious about this malignant hypertension. Has that been reported?
So, you know, with the MKIs, the multikinase inhibitors, the cabo, vendetinib, all of this, you know, they all hit VEGFR2. And so saw hypertension there. The selective RET inhibitors, while they're much more selective for RET, they do also hit VEGFR2. And so we have been seeing some hypertension, and it's in that 20 to 30% range. So I think you just, in general, it can be easily controlled by antihypertensives and keeping an eye on things. But we have seen it with both of those agents.
So Jeff, any predictions about how this patient's gonna do on which is the drug?
She's on praseltinib.
Could also get hypertension. I think the drugs are very similar, and I think that you can have side effects with one drug, and you can have side effects with the other drug. The key is that there are a lot of different doses that can work, right? If you're trying to hit thyroid cancer with slightly more difficult targets, you need a higher dose. If you want to hit RET fusions in lung cancer, you might need a lower dose. If you're overcoming resistance or preventing resistance or treating in the brain, you might need a higher dose. So I think it's important to be ready to adjust the dose and have some dose flexibility as we start learning about how to use these drugs. You know, every new drug struggles with this, right? Where should I, say, hit my phase two dose? When should I push the dose up to try to get that CNS activity? And so we need to sort of learn that dose flexibility with these new drugs, just like we did with ceritinib, just like we do with alectinib, just like we've done with erlotinib. We need to be comfortable adjusting the dose as patients require.